we'll go that direction.
Okie dokie.
Is it my turn or your turn?
I'll let you start the year off.
Thank you. Happy 2020.
New decade for all of us.
Yeah. All right. We'll call the meeting to order. It's 4:02. We'll do roll call and guest introductions. Dave, you want to start us?
Dave Weston, Pap.
John Spencer, Pap.
Megan Locack, Parks.
Kelsey Potter, Pap.
Jay Chester, Pap.
Galena Burley, Parks and Lands Manager.
Joanne Reggie, Parks Foundation.
Barbara Anderson, Parks.
Advisory Board.
I lost it.
Stacy, you want to say you?
Stacy
Kaiser-Papp. You. Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Me.
Let's see. And do we have any guest speakers who are coming up later? Or just general public folks?
I think we don't have any presenters today, but would love to hear who's in the room.
Okay. Sharon, we have signed up. Hello.
Hello.
We'll get to you in a second. I won't put you on the spot, but
at the very end.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you want to do the second public comment? Okay, no worries. Thanks for letting us know. Anyone else in the audience want to sign up for public comment? Let us know. We can also, if you do, we do two public comments. We can throw it back up there, and you can sign in if something compels you to want to speak. Okay, then. Guest introductions, just flying along here. All right. 2020 election of officers results acknowledged. We need to vote on this, apparently, with our double asterisks.
Do we need a vote on it? I think we're just acknowledging.
I don't think you need a vote.
Just acknowledge.
Just acknowledge.
Yep.
Hearey.
Officers are the same.
Yes, officers are the same. Review and adopt our November 12th meeting minutes, because we did not have a meeting in December.
I scanned them. I saw no problem. Move to approve.
Second.
All right. Been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
All right. We're good.
That's just a delay, yes.
Reminder to submit volunteer hours. Guys, I am getting so just lackadaisical on this. Can we start printing? I hate making paper, but I would rather make the paper here and get the hours in than not do it. And what I'm doing right now is just not doing it electronically, and I'm getting months behind. So if we could have them.
I have them here.
Oh, good. Okay.
And also, I just wanted to let you know that collectively as a board you logged 187.25 hours last year.
Awesome.
Good job.
Plus
that's
all
great.
The stuff that
plus all the
Kelsey
stuff that
and I haven't
get
submitted.
Yeah.
Those of
but
us
I do have papers for those that want them.
Awesome. Thank you, Megan. That's great. And while we're talking about volunteers, do we have an update on volunteer coordinator?
I have it down in my manager's report.
Okay.
Yeah, but I can tell you whenever you're ready.
Okay. We can wait for that. I was just curious. I didn't know if we would hear what's going on there. All right, so public comment. No one is interested in public commenting right now, from what I understand. So we'll move forward. Discussion of ex officio membership. Jay.
I haven't made any progress since our last meeting. The thought is to try to work with all of the different groups, especially the school districts, to try to see if they want to send in some representation on the board and in discussions, but especially with Vancouver. And I haven't heard anything from them. Or
I was just mentioning to Galena before the meeting that I had not heard back from the ESD or the school districts.
Right.
And we would like to propose drafting a letter on behalf of the board to go to the superintendent.
I can do that.
So I can share a little insight since I'm working on a school project right now.
Oh.
So Jennifer was the one doing the representative, traditionally her position.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer's position has bounced to two people now. I don't know if the current person is the long-term person or still filling that gap. And then Todd Hornstein's leaving, too, who was Jennifer's supervisor. So there's, like, a lot of shuffling in that area right now, which is why I'm guessing we're not getting a much of a response. And I know they're just kind of scrambling. right now, so I would not be surprised if we don't hear back for a while. So we might kind of want to reach out, but don't be surprised if we don't hear anything. Sort of thing for now.
Did you manage to catch up with Jennifer at all?
I have. I did talk to Jennifer on the phone last week, actually. And we talked, you know, I think there's interest for her to be on the board as an ex officio. So, again, this is important, but I think in terms of prioritization,
right,
we should work on it, but not panic that it's not moving faster than it is.
Okay. Well, I can start putting up a letter or something, and I think we need to talk to ESD and see how best to communicate with them. I'm not familiar with them at all, so.
I'm quite familiar with them.
Okay.
I'd be happy to partner with you on the letter.
Yeah. I'll give you a shout next week and we'll talk through that. So.
And I think that ties into our bylaws discussion too on amending the bylaws for what ex officio positions look like, what's the cap, that sort of thing.
I think those need to go together. I don't remember if we had a limit on the number of ex officio.
There is. Yeah.
It's defined within the, it's not an RCW, it's an ordinance, is it? I think it's called.
Okay.
In Clark County. Right. I've got that one. Yeah, I sent it out when we wrote
the
bylaws.
I go back through my files.
The same as we had to go back to change it to get the youth in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I remember that portion of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they do define.
So Megan, maybe you and I, when we talk next week, we can answer that question too.
To be continued. Post plan update, Laura.
I think the verbiage in our bylaws almost word for word replicates the ordinance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll check. Yeah.
And we'll send a copy of bylaws again.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
What do you got for us? Lots of stuff about the post plan. Lots.
Not super lots.
Well,
just a little bit of an update. So the last time we were together, we thought that we could use the task order contract that we already had in place. We've gone out for a full RFP for that process. However, with new guidance from our county auditor, they are asking us to, for each specific task, to go out on a process. So for this one in particular, we can do an RFQ, which is a request for qualifications. And we use the MRSC roster for that, and I had to put what that acronym stands for in your handout because I didn't know it offhand. But we did go through that process. The first step that I took was actually researching what are other cities using within Clark County besides who we've used in the past, who have they used. And then I went out a little bit further and who did other counties use for their PROS plan to meet the requirements. And so with that, and some potential names that were thrown out by others in management, had 8 firms that we looked at in the roster, and with that was filtered down to 4 that met the qualifications within the scope of work that we were wanting them to do. This week on Monday, that went out to those 4 candidates to ask them to interview on January 31st. 2 have responded so far. And so we have time set in the afternoon right now. We have one at 1 o'clock and the second one at 2:30. I'm still waiting to hear from the other 2. The budget that we have for the project is included in the scope of work and the papers, and so that may limit us to just 2. We'll see. I'll reach back out to them to see if they make sure that they got the email with the attachment. So we have a schedule of timeline here. As I said, the interviews are scheduled for Friday, January 31st. We'll have selection and contract negotiations happening in February, and then a hopeful contract in place with things beginning in March. And then the work should be completed in December. So as we've talked together, you as a group had done some pre-work in 2019 and worked looking at park standards, park ideas, a pretty good scope on some innovative ideas. You also talked about park credits, and so what I have before you says we may look at park credits, we may look at new standards, and that's only because it hasn't been a formal recommendation that's gone to council yet. I know that that's probably what you're going to recommend, having done the work that you've already done, but in here it just says may for those reasons and purposes. And then as far, so the work that'll be completed in 2020 is all task one work that truly is just the update for the bulk of the PROS plan right here. And then the Title IV that needs to go before the Planning Commission and, or the Type 4 that needs to go before the Planning Commission and the Council will likely happen in 2021. That's our Type 2, Task 2, as well as looking at the PIF credits. What does that look like? What's that wrap into? And that is due in part to the fact of budget. It's helped drive that. But also timing and making sure that we're touching all the bases and that we have full involvement. Because you wanted to do a little extra public outreach to get some good public input. So on the back page, there's some ideas for your involvement this next year, and I know that that's part of what you were interested in. What do you want? What are we hopeful for PAB, for your involvement? Of course, the kickoff meeting, whoever can be there, we want you to be involved. And then there's several things that we'll want you to also be involved in, which is a review of the mission, vision, and goals. Are those likely to change? I presume so because of discussions we had in 2019, as well as the other things that are listed there. We'll want you to have a review of the public engagement process, and you'll guide us in that as well if you're not hearing everything that you want to hear from the public, or are there more steps that we need to take? So as far as the schedule, we won't know that totally until we have the consultant on contract and talk about all those things and laying that out. But what I'd like to hear from you today are, what are your hopes? Are you hoping for a once a month, aside from this meeting, like we did in 2015? Are you hoping for less than that, and updates during meetings, and making the meeting time longer?
You know, for my part, just to jump on that, whatever's needed.
Okay.
You know, if awesome. We need, I would say let's start with a couple spares meetings and see how it goes. If we need more, great. If we don't, that's even better.
We might need to do a good chunk of public engagement in-house, so we would love your help with any ideas, thoughts, deliverables, you know, any meetings we could attend, conversations we could have. With our budget, we may not be able to accomplish that with our consultant. I think a lot of that work will be on our team. Definitely staff, and then if you have thoughts or ideas, we'd love them.
So correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't quite understand. You're talking about the parks credit may be part of this scope and review?
So I know that that's the guidance that you want. However, a formal recommendation hasn't been presented yet on that idea.
So is that something we need to type up for the council?
It will be a part of the outcome of going through the full process. And so that'll be part of the recommendation. We recommend to council that they adopt this and implement. So part of that language will be a result of guidance from the consultant. So yes.
So it will. So the development of the language will be part of the scope.
Yes.
Of this. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just like we were asking them to do the research to give us proposals on credits.
Okay.
And then we say we like this, we recommend this.
Right. Yes. And then the PIF credits, that's a different or separate exercise, and that is?
Yes. So in looking at the work and the amount of time that goes into that, we didn't have budget money for 2020 to cover that particular topic. So 2021.
We just couldn't afford it. I know it seems like $50,000 buys a lot of things.
No, it doesn't. I totally understand where you're coming from. I totally understand the consultant's concern. I'm worried that we're going to get a lot of pushback from the public side, especially in the more professional DEEB and other sides, that if we do not address both park credits and PIF credits in some way, shape, or form. Now, I mean, we can turn around and say PIF credits, you know, I don't know what we can do, but I know if we don't address it or don't put it in some type of summary language or something like that, then we're going to probably get hammered pretty hard.
Yeah. Because that's locking us in for the next 6 years. Mm-hmm. So if we don't address PIF credits at all in that plan, with development booming in Clark County, we are locking ourselves right back where we've been, where we could lose, A, the relationship we've kind of built with the development community over the past year, and B, really amazing innovative parks that they can build that we cannot afford to build. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see us, I get that it's a budgetary concern, and I get that $50,000 to go through the whole kit and caboodle of this is what every other jurisdiction does, these are examples. I get that we can't do that, but we've got to have some sort of language in there that keeps the door open and doesn't lock it for 6 years.
The PROS plan, we normally update it every 6 years, but mm-hmm. we can do an addendum anytime we want, yes? Or is it just a maximum of once per year, there's another rule out there on some planning, I forget.
And I'm sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
But I would be willing to ask that question.
We're just asking questions. Don't feel like you should have all the answers.
But I want to. She always does.
You are talking to Laura.
We never stopped her before, ever.
She will not sleep tonight. She'll leave.
Yeah, she's researching.
No.
So I imagine that in the PROS plan, we definitely will have language that says, and it'll be generic because you're not going to want to set mm-hmm. exactly what those PIF credits are
right.
or exactly what those parameters are because they may have to change
right.
and be, you know, because we'll mm-hmm. we'll try it out and go, oh, this isn't quite working. We need to tweak it. And so we go back and change whatever, if it goes into code 40.
I think the best case is PROS plan opens the door, references mm-hmm. the code section.
Sure
the code
is.
Can be updated every year. And
yeah.
that's
mm-hmm.
where we have our criteria.
And that may be mm-hmm. the best way to approach it. I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just don't want to, we don't address it in some ways. And totally understand the $50,000, but this is an update. I don't know that the PROS plan needed that much revision except for the two areas we're talking about, mm-hmm. the further definition of the smaller parks because of the development, you know, because of the development atmosphere right now and everything else, because everybody's, you know, different parks, and then the PIF credits, because I mean that's kind of where, and I don't mean that the public shouldn't, I'm just more worried about some of the DEEB and some of the professionals around here that could end up, you know, making a lot of noise.
So the part that I'm specifically speaking to in 2021 is the exact parameters, what will go into the code.
Into, and that may be more of a code issue than a...
Right. But as far as putting it in, the generic statement of saying PIF credits
will be,
and then some of the language that you discover through the process, that as so long as they meet identified standards...
To be determined.
Right.
That's fine.
Which will be, and then, you know, it'll be a part of code.
Right.
So, I mean, and we'll fine tune that through the process. It definitely, I believe that it has to be a part of mention.
Okay.
At least the criteria. And I think mm-hmm. we can work on that with our consultant, whoever we hire.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're hearing is it's very important. We want to honor our essentially commitment, unpack it a bit. I think the code direction is probably a little easier in terms of updates if we have to make them as necessary, but a criteria on PIF credit should be good.
I think Dave's got a great point or an angle on this. The PROS plan allows for it and references the code.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can update the code. I mean, that's where a lot of technical people can get around and argue and cuss and discuss what's going on. So, okay. I just didn't want the PROS plan to not.
If you look at the PROS plan under impact fees and it talks about transportation and stuff, I think it's just like that.
Yeah.
You go to the transportation section of the code to find what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Because I just remember one of the original white paper, if everybody remembers the original white paper, said there's no allowance for park credits and PIP credit, and that's not true. In my mind, it's always allowed. You just have to ask, and they believe they asked and said it wasn't allowed. So I mean, that's just kind of a touch point.
So we have transportation credits, right, as part of the TIP program.
Sure.
So I think we're looking at something similar. We'll need to do some unpacking, but at a minimum, work up a criteria for PIF credits in the PROS plan, and that could be part of our negotiating with the consultant.
Yep, absolutely, Beth. And part of the challenge has been that it hasn't been mentioned specifically in this plan from 2015, and so I think that's a great recommendation for us.
We'll get there.
What is our budget for this project?
$50,000.
That's
$50,000.
$50,000.
Yeah, for task one.
Okay.
Task one, 1.1 through 1.10, and then task 2A and 2B, which includes the code piece for the PIF credits. We're carrying that into 2021 so we can do another ask for funding. And the funding actually comes from our PIF districts, so the money's there. It's just asking for the ability, getting the approval to use those dollars.
We need to have formal budget authority to spend the money.
Okay.
Any other questions on that that I may or may not be able to answer?
Laura, don't beat yourself up. You literally answered every question I've ever asked you at the second I've asked you.
I have to say, we were so excited because we were ready to roll. We had a task order contractor who's worked with us before, and it just so happened that the auditor is looking at all of our on-call contracts, and we had to put our brakes on, literally, and take baby steps.
Yeah.
Does that concern you for getting the project done by the timeline you've set?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, especially if we pick a really qualified
consultant. Someone who knows what they're doing.
Yes. Right. Familiar with process. We should be good to go.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for all your work on that.
Thank you for your valuable input. These are awesome. Appreciate you.
And you're up again with the Lewis and Clark Regional Trail update.
I am. So in December, we had a draft that the National Park Service sent to us. We sent that out to all of the stakeholders within the region along the trail, and we've heard some really great feedback. Oh, the report's beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for all your work. Thank you for everybody who's been involved. One comment, the Lewis and Clark Regional Trail will be a tremendous asset for both residents and visitors alike. Very exciting. And then we had 15 support letters that came in, but actually we had some group support letters. So you look at that and that's, over 20 entities really that provided really positive feedback, and which we're very thankful for. And then we received the comments back for that tough section between Vancouver Lake and Ridgefield. So we have the Department of Fish and Wildlife, both state and the U.S. Departments. Just reiterating what they've said before, this time they sent us another two-page letter along with all the other letters they've sent to us in attachments, so 11 pages total. Those will not probably all be going into the report. Please, Dan. And then the Columbia Land Trust. This one surprised me a little bit. Dan Fries. He's been involved with the Sandhill Cranes project with the private landowner down there, as well as some other wildlife protection activities. So he was of a similar mindset. Don't disturb the wildlife there. And then the Fazio brothers, who at one meeting that we were at up in Ridgefield had said, Al had said, hey, yeah, you can use the dike. That's a great idea. That'll work. And then we received a letter from one of the brothers that said, no, you can't. And he's the Dyking District Commissioner.
Oh.
And so he sent the letter and signed it and said, you cannot use the dike. And then the Friends of the Ridgefield Wildlife, they are very supportive of a trail that brings people to the wildlife, which is great. That will get us there. They just don't want it to go through. And I think we all agreed that it didn't have to go through, that we're going to try to route people around. So while that was a challenging letter, it's also very positive. So there's that news. But on to exciting news about celebrating the Lewis and Clark Trail. So I was invited to provide a presentation at two neighborhood associations who gathered together for their annual meeting, the Old Evergreen Highway and the Columbia River Neighborhood Associations. It was fun to meet with that group. Full room, and they were great. Had some positive feedback from them. I'm invited to go to the Chinook Trail Association. I thought it was just going to be on a list of speakers for that day, but they want this to be the focus, and I got the itinerary back, and I'm the keynote.
Oh, awesome.
Yay!
No pressure.
Yeah. And then we talked to the Clark County TV, and they're going to do a 10-minute video on this project.
Great.
That'll be part of our launch, and as this comes out in the spring. And then, of course, the Parks Foundation has been great. This is going to be a focus for the luncheon in May.
Mm-hmm.
We're really excited about that. And then if you've noticed, have you ever tried to find this project on our website? It's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked to Megan Reed and said, you know, once we have this final report, I want to put everything on there. So we're working together to make sure that this project is on there, that people are aware. And some other information as well. So we're working on that. Then, so just some next steps is on the back side here. So I put little check marks on what we've already accomplished. We're working with the National Park Service to finalize the report. And they may want some clarification to go back out, and so I'll be communicating with some of our partners for those clarifications and getting that back to Bree. We weren't aware that Ridgefield had some really exciting trail projects going on that were leading to the wildlife refuge. And so Steve Dew with Conservation Techniques actually worked with them on that and updating their PROS plan. And so he had the shape files that were ready to go and sent that off to the National Park Service. So we'll include that as well. And then in the spring, we'll have the release of the report, the luncheon, and then, drum roll, this is also going to be a focus of the National Trails Day for Clark County, which is June 6th. We're really excited about it. We'll have more information forthcoming, but we're hoping to have all kinds of volunteer projects on trails going on throughout the county, as well as people talking about their own getting outside and walking trails. So, what did we say here? Volunteer, explore, and share your adventure. So we really want people to share their experience on social media and then share with us, because we're going to report back to the National Trail Association. So it's all very exciting. And thank you to the Parks Foundation for leading the charge
mm-hmm.
on the focus for the trail.
Cool. Is there a role for Parks Advisory Board beyond just updates? Do we need their participation in any of the PR, upcoming television coverage? Anybody feels like doing an interview on CBTV? Those are fun.
I totally welcome that.
Yes,
absolutely.
We do welcome it.
I think Kelly wanted to do it.
Did he?
And kick it out. Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Done.
You are worked on this project for decades.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
the early 90s, if not earlier. That would be great if we could get Kelly on camera to talk about it.
He is truly the father of Lewis and Clark, but
yeah, I learned so
I don't
much
know about that camera
him.
Bit. Yeah.
Who made this logo? Is this the logo for the trail?
It is.
I like it. Who did this?
So it is the gal that took Bree's place as the intern, for the National Park Service. Her name.
But Bree is still there?
Bree is now working as a subcontractor on the project. I'm really thankful they let her continue the work on the maps for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
She did a really good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it helps with branding.
And on signs everywhere.
Great.
Forthcoming. We're hopeful. Any other questions about the project?
No. Thanks for all your hard work on that, too.
When do we start?
Laura.
Right? Yeah, that's...
That's down a ways.
That's on my FAQ. When will this be finished?
2008.
Everything on the other side of Vancouver Lake and the other side of Ridgefield.
It's going to have a floating bridge that goes for miles and miles.
Which would be cool.
It would be very cool, but very expensive and very hard to maintain. But, man, it would be cool.
It sure would. It would be a destination for sure.
Nothing's impossible, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Throw
it's true.
Everything is
anything.
Possible.
Yep.
And Lego song, everything is awesome.
That's true. I was like, why do I know that? Like, oh, I live with 6-year-olds.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura, for all your hard work.
So I get to go next, but I wasn't at the Heritage Farm presentation. I watched it on CVTV. So I'll give you some background, and then I think we wanted to discuss, kind of debrief what we heard last Tuesday. Was it last Tuesday?
It was last Tuesday, yeah.
So about a month ago, I received a request to meet with County Council to give them an update on Heritage Farm funding, management, master plan, 2010-2019 constraints of the site, things of that nature. It felt very much information gathering in nature, and so my staff actually met with Council last week to give them answers to the questions we received, which were essentially exactly what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
Who is paying for what, how much of a general fund goes into the farm, who is managing it, and I thought it was a really robust discussion. Like I said, I watched it on CVTV. I wasn't there, and it was very, very well attended. We were given instructions to gather more ideas on management and income for the site, come back and give council an update maybe in a month. So Steph and I haven't even debriefed it yet. We will this week and start working on next steps. We don't have a plan yet, but we'll work on one, and we'll likely need your input. Anything I've missed that's really high level?
There have been a lot of whispers around and innuendo about the desire to sell off part of that, and I've put water on it as much as I can, but it would be nice if there were some
when
a specific acknowledgement that there is no plan, that is a safe and preserved our heritage that is being preserved is what I stated, that it's a historical site. Is there anything else that we should be aware of? Let's just ask that.
I thought councilors addressed that piece kind of right off the
a little
start.
Bit. There's
yeah.
some...
Well, I didn't see it.
Yes, I could send it to you. You know, I didn't think about
from sitting in the room, it was the elephant in the room pretty much the whole meeting. It's a political discussion. So there's going to be this is my personal input. There are some who are interested in selling pieces of the property, and then there are some councilors who that is not on the table for. And then there are probably some who are looking at the general fund, and unless we can draw less money from it, I'm not going to say it's a political thing. Like all of those things are, and so it really is coming down to those council members. The way I read the room is that is not something they want to pursue at all right now, a majority of them. That's how I read the room. I think they were also, I think they knew there was going to be a lot of people there, but there were so many people there, they had to bust open the training room wall into the hearing room. It was crowded.
I heard over 100 people.
Yeah, it was crowded.
Were most commenting not in favor of selling?
It wasn't open. It wasn't a public hearing, so people could not.
It was a work session.
Yeah, but there were audible grumbles when language that pertained to selling was brought up.
I noticed most of the editorials that I've read are all opposed to it, and you know, I sat on the Business Association board for many years, and we fought that tooth and nail a long time back because they originally wanted to put a new food bank type center there, and we were highly opposed to that as well because of all the large trucks that would come in. Kingsway School right across the street, which meant that you, and especially if people were coming there to eat, you had a lot of people that were homeless, which I worked for Sheriff for 5 years, so you know, I totally understand that side of it, but people did not want all of those large trucks and people there with all those kids around as well. And nobody, you know, nobody, the Business Association was never in favor of that going away. They wanted to see it used for things like Saturday market or wine tasting events, lots of different activities that could occur there. And then, of course, the food bank gets a lot of food from there, too.
Oh, so absolutely. They shared the statistics on it, and it's just mind-blowing how much food. Pat, do you want to come up here for this? I mean, you're kind of late. Or you can just hide in the back, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you're comfortable with doing.
There's not much more I can contribute.
Yeah.
You're right, Galena. Explain kind of, certainly from the staff perspective, where we are. And I think you're also right that it's a largely political discussion moving forward. And as staff, we will provide as much factual information as we can, hopefully come up with some ideas how we might be able to cut back on general fund or something, but that's a long conversation.
It is a messy conversation, because here's the other problem. Half the people in that room seem to want it open for recreational purposes, for trails, for walking, for biking, for, and then the other half of the people in that room also really enjoy the farming and the heritage and the historical aspect. And then you have the council needing to quit drawing from the general fund, so it has to make some money. So how are you balancing if people are going to come in and do farm-to-table dinners or all these other ideas that are being thrown out there? How are you going to balance protecting that property of people who are paying to do things there with people who want to recreate there, with how the property is aligned? It's very it's difficult. Like, I think so many people have so many different ideas, but A, do they make money? B, is the county going to have to invest money to make things that are going to generate a profit and quit drawing on the general fund? I think yes. I don't think there's really anything. I think you're going to have to do some improvements to the property to draw people in. But I learned a lot from their advisory board. Like, they were talking about how, like, right now anyone can come in and apply to have, like, a plot or something, and they're not paying a fee to do that. There's no fees associated with that. So
there's very modest fees.
modest fees, and what that means. So, like, yes, these are nonprofits, but it sounds like they're, and here's where I want to be careful with us, because they have a board, and they seem perfectly capable. I want to support them as much as possible, but I don't want to meddle in their business, because they know this property 1,000 times better than we do. So anything we can do to support them, I think we should. But I don't want to tell them how to do anything with their board.
Well, and I don't know if you picked up on it, Sandy. She's both on the advisory board and also the nonprofit.
On the foundation.
Mm-hmm. So there's a farm foundation as well, fairly new, I believe, organization that's still in its development stages. So
Kirk is here. He's on the foundation as well.
Oh, there you go. Hello. Yeah. How are you? Feel free to jump in.
Yeah.
I'm a new person to all of this.
I'm just taking notes.
Galena said.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting. Some of the ideas they've shared already are worthwhile unpacking, right? They had some really great stuff. Master Plan in 2019 had some really interesting concepts around farm-to-table stuff, some flex space. I think there's a lot of stuff there that we just need to unpack. So that's my plan, is to work with my staff to help unpack what we could do to make it more self-reliant.
Well,
I don't think we're going to make, you know, big bucks.
It's never going to,
The Business Association was highly, highly interested in maintaining that piece of property as a natural resource and being able to attract people to this whole Hazel Dell area.
Yeah.
Because it is a huge resource for us, and it's a big piece of property, and once it's gone, it's gone. So, you know, I remember there was, and a lot of might remember this too, there was talk at one point in time about putting a community center there mm-hmm. with a swimming pool and all those kinds of things. I think that all fell through just because it's so expensive to do that. But to lose something of that caliber of property would be a huge loss for the county, any mm-hmm. way you look at it. Even if it sat there as just a blank park and, you know, they connected the Hazeldell Park yeah. to it and put a playground or something there. But mm-hmm.
I was on the sounding board in 2010.
Yeah.
I have a community
but, you know, none of us wanted to see it sold because we thought that it was such a community treasure and that could actually bring in tourism dollars to the Hazeldell area.
Yeah.
And that was from our side as a business association. So
I think everyone agrees it's being underutilized yeah. and that it has so much potential to be this really, really amazing space. But how do you do that?
Yeah.
One other thing, Pat, that I'm confused on. So the historical designation mm-hmm. does not protect it from from being sold. So what the so for what I learned in that meeting is it just protects how buildings pretty much are remodeled and torn down. Is that all that's really in place with that?
There is a formal for any new structure or to demolish a structure there
or
is
modify.
A
or
modify a structure, there's a review process through the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission
mm-hmm.
and there is not an outright prohibition, and even in the on doing those things, even in the Farm Preservation and Maintenance Plan that was done in 2018, at least one of those historic structures they felt was so far gone that some sort of salvage reconstruction mm-hmm. might be the best route. And but yes, it has to go through the competitive review. When we did the cemetery fence up there on top mm-hmm. of the hill, we had to go through the Historic mm-hmm. Preservation Commission, get their feedback on whether this seemed to be appropriate materials, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, there is that review process. How contentious that could become, I don't know, but I bet it could become contentious.
Mm-hmm. So I know some of the projects I work on was historic review. It's a lot longer, it's a lot of hurdles to overcome, gets more expensive often, but it's not a definite.
You can also put deed restrictions on a plot of land. That can, of course, still be overcome, but it puts another set of public hearings and yeah. and yeah. whatnot in place. Does the land carry any such?
No. There are no deed restrictions.
We own it in fee. The family that donated it to the county gave it to the county as a way to pay their tax debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1870-something.
Woohoo!
See?
Yeah. They were excited about it.
But
Kelly,
but you're right. I mean, there are a lot of different ways.
So
our plan of staff, like Pat said, we were asked to look at ideas for reducing the general fund subsidy. It will most likely include some sort of public process.
Well, that's what I stopped and talked to Pat and Kevin about on the way out. Was I was like, I just remember doing a big long survey about Heritage
mm-hmm.
Farm like
yes.
a year and a half
yes.
ago.
Yes.
I did that too.
And the big public outreach we did to update the master plan.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we reinventing the wheel when this is less than a year old? Or like a year and a half old?
That's
like
exactly.
It just seems like a waste of money and time. The public has said this is what we want to see in this space. We have that data. Why do we want to go do all this information gathering again when we have it?
Write that to the county.
Yeah.
As a public person.
Like that's what I'm confused about. And I don't know if they don't know that was not done. And again, I think public involvement is great and more the better, but I don't know if the answers are going to be that much different than what people said
no.
a year ago.
No, we did it in 2010. It was extensive.
Yeah.
And it was the same in 2019. I've read everything. It was on the sounding board.
It was a really long survey, too,
it
I
was.
Remember.
And it was because
very
some of them wanted to sell it. And there are meetings where they were frankly saying, you know, and then you heard Industrial Land Bank at the public meeting.
or so corporate headquarters. And yeah, no, I get it. You're passionate about it. I mean, that's the one thing I would feel this is the most hot button parks issue currently in Clark County is this piece of land. And so
sometimes we can't be profit makers. Sometimes that is not what our intention should be. And I'm sitting here picking at the back of my brain, trying to remember when we were combined mm-hmm. with Vancouver. I'm trying to remember because at that point, all of the barrack areas and those lantern tours and stuff were all coordinated through the city, not through the parks. And that wasn't a profit maker because they weren't charged. And there was that time that we talked about doing similar things, you know, like doing the barn update there to make it a learning experience for people. I'm just puzzling through.
I think
looking at the future for our kids and our grandchildren. Yep.
I think Kelsey.
It needs to be there.
Yeah, Kelsey said it well. We're not trying to make money in it, but we are looking for ways to reduce the general fund obligation. It's almost $600,000 in 2019. It was about $560,000 in 2018. So we're looking at all of that in totality, right? And like you said, Kelsey, it's such a gem. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I heard that from all of the council members. How do we unpack it and capitalize on it? I think is what they're asking
for. Yeah, but I think if you throw the cost of the amount of food that they get out of there, that in itself is probably worth the investment in that because.
And I think this past year, they did the parking lot stuff there, so those costs were higher.
Sure. Well, they did it was the irrigation line. Yeah.
Irrigation.
There's a number of things.
The food that comes out
in the work session, we focus primarily on the general fund expenditures mm-hmm. because that is their area of concern.
Yep.
There are other revenue sources that in the past have been used. REIT has been used
the
in the past.
The university generates
the university through their grants and things generates, you know, sort of over $2 million in leveraging for our $360,000 contribution. Mm-hmm. So,
but they're just looking at the bottom line. I mean, every time you kept trying to bring that up, they kept saying, quit talking about that. Where are we in the red?
When we went through the Planning Commission was pretty adamant that we needed to present this information to the council. And I think it was
helpful. It shows the whole scope of the property, but... Back to your question, it's like a political question, and they're going to look at that bottom line, and the more they get nervous about that, the more people are apt to make decisions politically. So,
I think, Pat, it's going to be really important, even though I agree with Kelsey as far as there being a separate board that supports it, but I think that any time that the farm comes into any jeopardy, that we all need to remain vigilant and supportive of that and make sure that we raise our voices and not let that happen.
I agree completely. I just don't want to overstep our bounds. So whatever that line is. So if there's ever something you feel we need to know, please let us know, Pat.
Yeah, and I think it would be worth reaching out to the chairs of their mm-hmm. board mm-hmm. just to say, we're here, we're waiting for you to call us.
Mm-hmm. I will add, Clean Water Advisory Committee wrote a letter of support, for example. So there are a lot of different ways you could be involved, including providing letters of support.
How many acres?
The farm portion is 79. The Hazeldale Park is an additional 15. So, you know, 15 to 20. 20
it's about 100 acres.
It's about 100 acre property between 68 and 78.
Yeah, but I like John's idea of reaching out to the committee's mm-hmm. chairs, both the foundation and the family advisory committee, and just let them know or offer them a chance to come talk to us,
mm-hmm.
if nothing else, and that way we can let them know we're here, and if they need support or help, then we can offer that.
See, the other thing this does bring up is, to me, so my background when I look at all this is a little thing called a river walk in East County. It was an attempt to sell off the first settlement in Washington State, Parker's Landing, mm-hmm. and it blew up. As a result, it was zoned park, then deed restricted, and we've gone and put every historical marker we can on the thing. So basically, there's no way you can set something aside and say it will never be touched. You can put a ton of roadblocks in the way. And what this brings up to me is what properties around the county should we be looking at putting roadblocks up on? First thing that comes to mind is the mill, the
Grist Mill,
Whipple Creek.
Whipple Creek area.
Is it in danger? No. That's the perfect time to start thinking about what sort of protection should we have in place on it.
Mm-hmm. It's likely what happened, right, between 2010 and 2019. I think there's been a lot of effort to organize, to mobilize, to elevate the importance of this site as is. What we could do is, as we continue to have discussions internally, if you want us to provide an update on where we are, we can. I think council expects us back in about a month, so it's a very short timeline. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we could come up with in a month. Our goal is to start looking at things that are already right?
We're sort of going to truly engage that conversation later this week.
Yeah. And I did appreciate what Sandy shared, some of the ideas from her advisory and the nonprofit. I think they're really good ideas. They might be, you know, short-term or low-hanging fruit, but sometimes that's where you start. Mm-hmm. So we'll be having discussions with them. And if you have ideas or thoughts, too, don't hesitate. Let me, Pat, know. It helps us, helps our thinking boxes, too. But there isn't a plan right now. Like I said, we just had the meeting and we haven't met yet. What I did hear at the meeting, at least, and I could be wrong because I wasn't there, I just heard what was on CVTV, so I could only see people who were on the television, was that there is no plan to sell it and there's no plan to move any of the community gardens. I think an unfortunate slide in our presentation that showed that there could be some relocation of things, assuming all conditions are favorable, made it look like we were proposing to move community gardens. So I want to be clear with people here, if they are community gardeners, that we're not planning to move you.
Yeah, that's not really the point.
It's an unfortunate, yeah, it was an unfortunate
that's not really
slide.
The point.
Yeah.
So, anyways, to be continued. Yes. Keep, just because, like I said, there's a letter to the editor almost every day right now in the Columbia, and I just would like to stay in the know. I'll reach out to their chair of their board, and
here was the nonprofit.
I'm with both, yes.
You're
okay.
Both.
Yes, and we'll support you guys however we can. So just let us know, people. Just let us know.
You should reach out to the business association too. I'm sure they'd be happy to write a letter for you.
There will be another story in the Columbian. We had someone taking pictures there yesterday, so stay tuned. Mm-hmm. We'll try to, when they come our way, I'll try to share with you, but there's a lot more.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Pat. Pat did really great during the presentation.
He did
anyway.
Awesome.
And Kevin did amazing. Okay. Curtin Creek, concept and pricing.
So I asked staff to come back in February, to your February 11th meeting with an update. We're still working with our consultant on pricing. So since coming to Parks, I'm seeing a lot of opportunity to kind of revisit our budget and see where we are, if we're on target. I think with this specific project, it's very important you review the budget and see what the money really could pay for. Uh-huh. So I've kind of given our consultant and our project manager a lot of homework. I said, I really need you to give me a better idea of what this is going to cost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're working on that and should have it to us at the end of this month.
Okay.
So we'll come to you February 11th.
Rugby fields. I got your back.
Yes.
We need one rugby field on a Clark County park.
It's amazing to me what money buys these days.
I know, isn't it crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. It's sad.
So we'll do a much tighter job with our budget and let you know what it could pay for.
And we were thinking we had 1.3 in that PIF. Is that what we thought? 1.6?
No, there's 6
over there. The whole budget for the project is about $6 million.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't remember how much is coming from PIF, how much is coming from REIT. There's a combination of sources.
Just making up numbers.
No, and $6 million, like I said, sounds like a lot, but when you
no,
start
to unpack... No, it's a community park, yeah.
When you start to unpack, it starts to look slimmer and slimmer. So I just want to be transparent with you and bring you what we have before we proceed any further.
Yeah, and I don't want to get the public's hope up and then be like, oh, just joking. Because I think people going around looking at those concept boards, mm-hmm. I mean, those are... Yeah, we have to steady expectations for yes. sure.
So we'll come back to you in February.
Okay, I'm going to add that to the agenda list while I'm thinking of it.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. All right. Dylan, do you want to lead this? Jay, I mean, I think both of you sort of know, obviously, what's going on with this. I know Jay knows someone on the board who talked to him about it. You're obviously the president or the...
ED.
Yeah.
Apparently, years past, Clark County gave the Parks Foundation... parking passes for people that were members of the Parks Foundation. They stopped that, I don't know, 10 years ago when budgeting got really tight. We are, of course, on a trajectory of trying to grow the Parks Foundation so that we can support more and more grants throughout the county. We had about $150,000 in requests right now. We have about 100 and however many members. But the reality is in order to do the amount of work that we are being requested to do, we need to push that number up substantially. Our goal long term would be to have 1,000 members. Now, obviously, the county's not going to give us 1,000 parking passes, but if they say gave us 250 for the first 250 members over a, I don't know, $60 or something like that, there's a lot of talk about that being a money loss for them, but the reality is like me, I buy a park permit from the state every year. I might use it one time, I might use it no time. So I know last year we didn't go at all. I still spend the money for it, hardly ever use it. So the reality is a lot of our folks that are joining the Parks Foundation are older, and so they probably won't, but the goal would be to get a lot of younger members that will use it. So yeah, in that regard, you're going to lose some money on it. But most people probably won't use it more than one or two times over the course of the summer. So it's not, I don't think that it's the financial hardship that they are suggesting that it might be. But in terms of getting the foundation to grow and people able to support a lot of the projects that the municipalities would like to see us support, this is one way for us to encourage people to join the Parks Foundation in order to have that end goal of supporting all the projects that we are asked to support over the course of each year. And I guess that's really where the discussion lies, is if the county really thinks that it's a money loss, then they're not going to do it. But I don't really see how that is an accurate assumption. And honestly, the other thing is the more people that you get into the parks, the more, you know, the better off you are in terms of using the parks. I don't really think that just giving out that parking pass is going to make a difference as to whether they go or not. And I don't really know how many they sell right now anyway.
I could speak to that just briefly. So I think we're discussing the annual passes. They're
$30
per pass. They're valid at Frenchman's Bar, Louisville, Salmon Creek, Klein Line, and Vancouver Lake. If I'm not mistaken, he's not here, we sold about 3,000 of them last year. That sounds about right. I think we do a little more since we split up from the city, because when we were with the city, we charged 40, mm-hmm. and we went down to 30 a couple of years ago, maybe 2017. And it seems like we're selling more at the $30 per pop than $40 per pop. Yeah, could be also additional PR and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to me that one meeting that was a Gary came to, and he had sold more than what he anticipated,
mm-hmm.
could hardly keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
So my first thought is, as who just said that when you go online for your driver's license, I think that's where you do it, you can sign up for your state parks. Why not simply do the same thing on both systems, county system? You know, if you're going for a park pass, would you like to sign up for Parks Foundation for an extra $20 or whatever it is. And reverse on the Parks Foundation is...
That's not a bad idea. If the county would do it, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I don't know if
they would
or not. But I do like the idea as far as a great way to get more people contributing.
So I could say there are a couple of things that we researched. There's something... what is it called? I'm just going to read this. It's from the auditor's office. Oh, gift of public funds.
Yeah, that's
So the one, what they're saying here is that you want to look at that, and then there might be an option to enter into some sort of an agreement and consider this as a donation. So my question to all of you is, I imagine this is something that folks ask for more throughout the year, maybe schools, I don't know. I talked to Eric really briefly. I said, have we had inquiries like that before? I'd like to have some kind of a policy decision on this, and administratively I think we could work out some sort of arrangement that makes sense. But it is broader, I just want to be transparent with all of you, than this request today. So what are your thoughts?
Here's my concern. Is we say yes to this for the Parks Foundation, and then we have a veterans group come to us and say, you know, we're trying to get more vets in parks. We'd like you guys to donate parking passes to our organization. The asks then get potentially hairy on who you're saying yes to and who you're saying no to. I get that you're trying to increase membership, and I feel like we can help in that endeavor. I really like John's idea of, like, the word I'm trying to say. Yeah. Yeah, that's a hard word. I have concerns doing that. I do agree that, not all people. I have the state parks pass, and I maybe use it once or twice a year. But I do want to get more people in our parks. That's completely true. But I just have concerns with, we are so broke. Like, that's potentially, if we give 100 passes away, that's $3,000 worth of potential. I know that's the high side. But
if
we give 100
passes. And I understand. Potential, I just. I don't know that those people would buy the pass if they didn't just get it with.
I agree with that, but at the same time, parking fees have been so contentious with this board. They were on. It was very political to get them. Parking fees just make me nervous, and giving parking fees away make me nervous. And again, my biggest concern is, A, the gift of public funds. I was talking to one of the counselors that was concerned with one of them. And two, the asks. I love, like, giving free parking to the kids' fishing festival at Klein Line.
See?
I want to make sure we have enough money in our budget to give for events where people come and do that application for us, that benefit the whole community, not just members in a nonprofit. I want to make sure it's beneficial to everyone.
And even that was tough, like deciding who was going to be able to get these day passes or not.
That's true.
And if they had a hard time deciding that, then...
I know.
What is the... Is there an actual dollar amount to be a member of the Parks Foundation?
Anywhere from $30 to $1,000. You pick your amount, basically. If you were going to do a parking pass, you probably have to have like a minimum of $100 membership or something like that in order to do it. You know, the other option, of course, like you say, is join the Parks Foundation and get a $10 discount on your parking pass if you want one.
I like that more.
That's a possibility, and especially since, the people that buy them are probably going to be the ones that actually use them at that point. If you're just giving them away to somebody that's got a $100 membership, but most of them will probably never get used.
Right. I agree with that.
It'd be like the first, $100 or something.
Do most parking passes get sold through the website or...
Isn't it Battleground Community Center that sells like 60% of ours
that's
or something?
Probably
we have
Louisville
some
Park
nonprofit partners that sell them. We have quite a bit going through our ActiveNet online. It's so new. It's
online
not
sales are
increasing.
Mm-hmm. Battleground sells a substantial amount, but we also have a fair amount of people that come through the other brick and mortar locations, mm-hmm. Building A.
Well, Louisville Park is probably one of the most popular parks in the county. It's an amazing park up there. So,
I think for us, some policy guidance from you, not just on this request, but just in general, so we kind of know when we come to you or if this comes up. Since I started, I've had another request for a reduction of fees unrelated. It was a special event, and we were able to work with that vendor. But these things do come up where folks ask for fee waiver or donation, things of that nature. We could have a donation agreement with the nonprofit. I just want to know in what direction you're leaning, or if more discussion is needed, let me know.
Well, I think we need to develop a policy that addresses, and again, it more of a guideline, if you will, type scenario. I like the discount scenario better than just an outright gift, but the other side of the coin is, Dylan makes a very good point, we're not losing income out of this deal. I mean, the 3,000 we sold last year, we'll probably still sell, you know, because the odds are they're not part of the Parks Foundation. How many members do you have now?
About 100 and something. Yeah, and it's down, so that, you know, that's our
it's kind of your low point right now.
Yeah, it's starting to build back up. But
we do have to be very aware of other groups asking, you know, for that. So I think a policy, I think if there's some threshold, like you were saying, you know, if you sign up for $75 membership, then you get a 25 for instead of 30 or something like that. Give them the option, you know, that the automatic thing kind of is.
And the interesting part about that is then you would be able to see how many of those are actually sold.
Right. Well, and you'd also see how many people are coming to the Parks Foundation just simply to get a discount on their parking pass as well.
I think we still need some work, but I'd like us to develop a policy guideline type scenario. Okay. And because you know, again, the source of who's selling, I mean, you know, I haven't gone online. If I go to the park, I buy the park pass there. Same thing with the state. Yeah. You know, that way, if I go skiing and you have the state park, I'll buy the $10 pass there. I think it's $10.
Just had this image in my mind of Dylan out there scalping the parking passes.
He can make lots of money.
Yeah, recycling.
I didn't go into the Parks Foundation, so I can turn around and give it back to the parks.
Again, turn around and if we can do a policy or some type of guidelines for all groups, you know, nonprofits and you know stuff like that, then I think that's probably the best idea. And I like the idea of cross-pollinating each other's website to if you
yeah,
want to
join I think that's
this,
harder
that.
On the county side than my side.
Probably.
But truly,
I think
as far as scalping tickets, do it through your website and charge a little extra.
There you go.
There's a lot of people that charge a $2 transaction fee every time I'm buying something off of somebody. They have a $2 transaction fee, and it's like, really? It didn't cost me $2 a click, but I mean, you know, whatever the case may be.
So am I hearing kind of consensus that some sort of a guiding
would
document or a policy?
Yeah.
But we haven't told her what we want it to guide.
Yeah, tell me more. Discount?
I mean, that's the sticking point
I'm
here.
In favor of some kind of discount.
Yeah.
I'm not. Sorry.
I think a discount would... Sorry.
No, you go. Yeah.
You know, I think a discount based on... And we'll use the Parks Foundation as an example. You know, you get a bigger discount the more you give to the Parks Foundation. And other groups, I think, are just, you know, want to have a discount if they're a veterans group, nonprofit, whatever the case may be.
But it would be the same for every nonprofit.
Right.
That's the problem.
You really have to do for all.
Well, and that's why with a lot of the groups, you may not have a level of membership. Mm-hmm. You know, Parks Foundation can, but, you know, the other groups may not, so, you need a basic discount.
And how do we differentiate between who we think is a worthy organization to provide the... I think it just gets way too messy. I love the idea of getting more people in parks and boosting your membership, but it gets so messy on who... I don't want
to
decide who is worthy.
You'd have to limit it right off the bat to 501c3s. You wouldn't be able to do anybody else. So if it's a veterans group and they're not a 501c3, you simply wouldn't be able to do that.
And that may be where we start.
That's true, but... I mean, there are some 501c3s that I would not want to give discounts to based on a variety of reasons. I mean, and I don't want us to make that decision. I don't think we are. I don't want.
We should.
I don't
want to
open
that
can of worms.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I'm saying. We need a policy to, you know, and look at the discount, because we're going to have to address this somehow. It's not the first time we've had this.
So how are we addressing the veteran or the children's fishing event stuff for the one-day pass or the weekend fee waivers?
I don't know what
was the actual
was a case by case.
There was an application Eric made, right, Melata? That you had to fill out and you had to write about. Yeah.
Can you promise here? I think it was the exemption.
Yes.
But then also, like, for example, the shelter in Philida Community Park, which the Philida Neighbor Association community have built and donated it to the park, we have to make an application for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, it just, I'm... Well, should we take a vote on how we want the policy to proceed? Because I think I'm obviously in the minority, but we've got to give them some sort of direction moving forward. Or do we want to revisit this one more time in February?
And I could see what Vancouver's doing, or what the city, you know, other cities nearby.
Yeah,
I don't know,
just to throw it out there, could we start with a policy that specifically says, you know, Park Foundation matches our priorities up and down the line. Yeah. we're creating something for them specifically, and you know, if somebody comes back and challenges us and says we need to open that up, that's a separate discussion.
So I'm going to go devil's advocate here to help.
Please,
Kelsey.
Thank you, Dave.
So I'm a commissioner now. Uh-huh. Council member.
Council,
sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing, you know, the foundation, and they're giving money out to these different groups. Mm-hmm. And I see the council as we're losing $3,000 or whatever it is of revenue. And it's now going to Battleground, mm-hmm, and, you know, Richfield. Mm. And from the council's perspective, I could see that not being positive for the county.
Yeah.
So
I thought of that as well when I was thinking through it. That, yeah.
Not that it is
that your grants
thing
aren't exclusively right, for Clark County Parks, that they go to other entities.
Yes,
and
yes.
So the council might say, why are we going to subsidize other councils
basically
to get grants? Yeah, that thought occurred to me
no,
as well.
Are you subsidizing? We're not, the county is not losing income.
Well, potentially, because some of those
prove
people will lie.
Well, you can't prove that you are losing. You can't prove that you're not.
Not unless you do some kind of experiment with the discount thing.
Yeah.
Right. What if we were to...
Scott, I want to know what Kelly would say.
What if we were to sidestep the whole thing and, say, explore the co-branding idea and see if that can go on?
Well, I think we should do that anyway. But I think what we should do right now is maybe defer this a month.
Let you see
what others are doing.
I'd like, yeah, Eric, or was it Eric that was running
Eric,
that?
Yeah. Eric was running that.
We
probably need a little more information from him.
Well, and Eric's going to come next month anyways to give us the whole breakdown of 2019.
Yes, because we have another update related to
well, that would be
the, that would be a good time for him then to chat about this and what that
I do like, you know, it'd be nice to be able to give some, but I do like the co-branding thing because, you know, if you could go to the Parks Foundation and say, okay, you're a member now at whatever level and you can get a 10% discount or 20% discount on your parks parking pass, you know, you're losing $5, $8,
right,
whatever it happens to be. It's not a huge amount, but it's good PR for both sides. And realistically, the more the Parks Foundation brings in terms of grants, the more money that we're going to give out. You know, that's the whole goal of the Parks Foundation. And it's county, it's Camas, it's Washougal, it's you know, pretty much all the municipalities that we deal with. So
I do like the co-branding.
I do too. Yeah,
but I agree.
Yeah,
getting the county.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, I was going to say, being
we'll
a public policy
a
graduate, I don't think the council is going to approve us to get. I mean, whatever we say here, I think it probably is a dead end with the council, just knowing how they vote on certain issues when it comes to, you know, funds. But also, are we sure it's legal? That's step one for me. Are we 100% sure
giving it away
that
it's
legal?
Well, there's an auditor's office. you know, I could pull it up again. Let me just give me 1 second.
That, I mean, because if it, that's what I think we need to know first, because if it's not, this is a moot point.
Well, yeah, no.
And we shouldn't be discussing it at all.
So I'm reading from the auditor's office, and here's what he says. An amendment approved by the council would address any concerns of gifting public funds. If we issue the pass to each individual board member, then there would be no transfer. Additional questions to consider for the donation scenario are: how many board members do they have? What is the financial impact? Is there a legitimate business need for each board member to have a pass, etc.?
And I think he thinks it's board,
not board,
not membership.
Members that were.
And I think when
no,
it's membership. Yes, it's membership. We should clarify.
A pass, remember? And he got the readout on it that he couldn't do that.
So it's probably gift of public funds.
Yeah.
Because that was initial read I got too.
Yeah, was that he said he could not do that, that he was told.
If we were just gifting
it. Oh, I remember
it,
that. I remember
if we were just
now,
gifting
yeah.
it, as yeah. and I brought him here and said, here, everybody, thank you for coming to the meeting. Here's passes for everyone.
No, he checked for the board members.
Yeah.
He thought that we should each get a pass. And it went in and requested it, and it got the turned down. That he couldn't do that, and of course, you know, it's no big deal to any of us. We're going to kick out our $30, but it was just a nice thing that he offered to do.
According to the read I have now, if it's a donation, we could work on it. It doesn't say anything about it being illegal, but this is just a very preliminary opinion.
So why don't we have you explore the legal more? Follow up with that in February. Can you explore the legal of adding them onto the county's website
that's
too?
More, I think that would be more problematic. I could do it on my side easily.
Yes.
That would not be an issue. But
can
I
we just ask that question too?
Yeah.
If we're already wading into legal issues with the Parks Foundation.
What you're requesting is you want the foundation to be on the same website?
To have just a thing that says, just FYI, if you're here buying a parking pass, consider donating the Parks Foundation.
Or
yeah,
and having a link to it.
Yeah, we could do that. Well,
I mean, at least ask. I.
And then if you can have Eric come next meeting, he's going to be here anyway.
Yep.
And we can further discuss, or, you know, the impact of developing a policy.
Yeah, he's
first,
coming.
If it's legal, fine, that's one step.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not legal, then obviously that's mute. But if it is legal, then how? The other question is, how is it legal? I mean, what can we and cannot do? Because it's not board members, it's
their membership.
Membership, yeah. The board, that word got in there. Incorrectly.
And then
that's what my original request was, but we could follow up.
Clarifying the discount component as well.
Yeah, we have a meeting on Friday anyway.
Yeah.
We'll chat more then.
And legality of the discount, if a discounts are allowed as well in some sort of, All right, so to be continued on that. We will discuss in February. All right, that was fun, though. We never disagree on anything, guys, so I really enjoyed that. Thanks. I was kind of dreading that conversation, too,
so
it went really well. Better than that. I told my husband, I was like, I'm nervous. I have to go put more deodorant on. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, guys. I'm doing great right now. You're welcome, Jay.
It's a good discussion.
You're welcome.
And it really helps frame criteria for future requests.
Yeah.
So it's good we're having it together.
Oops, sorry, microphone. All right. Galena wants to discuss a PAB retreat and talking about update of bylaws. I'm going to get water while she takes the floor.
Well, I'm just reflecting. No, go get water, please. Hey, could you get me some?
Yeah, I will, actually.
Here, I'll get some.
No.
I'm going to do some.
Carrying it on crutches is
do we want to take a 1 minute break and get
sure.
Water?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we do that?
Then sure.
Yeah.
Everybody yell at me to start snowing, and then we're all stranded here.
But we're listening.
Yeah. Yeah. No, when you come back, I'll give you a minute.
It's for dinner,
They keep it entertaining,
home.
Don't they?
How did you break your leg?
Huh? Hardly. My husband bought a puppy for our daughter and swore to me it was potty trained. Huh? It wasn't.
Oh, the liar.
Little thing, I know. She peed right at the bottom of our staircase, which happens to be carpet, but where she peed is hardwood floor.
Oh, no.
And so on Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, I'm just going down the kitchen to get some coffee.
Oh, no.
I was shocked. I broke it. Yeah. Totally shocked. There's no way. We both looked at each other. Broken? And the doctor added, not only did I break my fibula, I also tore out my ligaments. So he had to go in there. No, it was...
It was a nasty break is what it was. I saw your pictures online.
It was like swollen in the ESL. I've never broken anything. So.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
They put blades in there. Screws. Oh. I'm allergic to metal, so I had a special blade.
Yeah, me too. I got
you're allergic to metal. Oh, I saw that on your post.
I'm allergic to heavy metal.
Oh my.
But mine was pulling in the Christmas tree.
Oh,
and it was wet. And I said, how I did it, but I turned my foot all the way back.
Oh, that hurts.
So then my plate is in, and I'm allergic to metal, too, which is why I don't wear much.
Same here. I don't even wear my wedding jewelry anymore because it bothers me so much.
No fun.
How old's your daughter?
This one is 13. She's, thank you so much. She's been
and you kept the dog?
We did. She's so sweet. She sleeps on top of me. Like, you know, I was
impressed. Feels bad. Feels bad for what she did to
her. It's border collie or whatever it's called. The mixed with something else. French yeah, she's so sweet. Adorable.
Yeah, they are, but they're pain. I love my dog, but gosh,
I know my husband's like,
my dog.
I thought everybody was going to go more.
Actually, I was
going to start peeing on the floor.
Yeah, this morning I was getting ready to leave, and I noticed that I forgot to put him out one more time, and guess what I was putting out.
That is the worst, too, when they're mad. Yeah.
Well, he's 16, so my and he's incontinent anymore. You know, like, you just deal with it. I've been at it for so many years. It's not like you just take one step, you know, and you've gotten him and put him to sleep.
As long as they're eating.
Yeah. I had one that was 22 that I did find him to put to sleep.
I've never heard of a 22-year-old dog.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Wow. I got him when he was this big, and I put him to sleep when he was 22. Me too.
He could have driven a car. He got under to dog ears.
Yeah. I was out running one time. He was about 15, 16, and somebody said, oh, he's so cute. How old is your puppy? And I said, 16? And he went, 16 months old? And I said, no, he's 16 years old. But I ran for years and years and years, and he ran with me, so he was in good shape. Really good shape.
Great.
But, you know, he just got to the point where he was too old. And
yeah.
He couldn't see, and he couldn't, well, that's my problem with my dog now. Once he can't see, he can't hear. And
see, that's one of the reasons why I said absolutely no dogs. I had this policy for years. We had dogs before. It's so much work. I was always the one, you know, I work, I go to school, I have kids, and then come home and take care of the dog. And I said absolutely not for 16 years.
Yeah. I made it 6 years.
Yeah. What's that?
The dog is easier than the kid, I'll tell you.
Actually,
I definitely don't talk back as much as the kids do.
We wait till they're 13. Happy, but, my daughter and I are just not holding.
That's the worst year.
That's the problem. She's 20 and she's at school.
Yep.
And I got to go to work all day.
That's how I feel so guilty leaving mine. Yeah, I have people come over. I have like Rover come and walk her. Like I get super. My mother-in-law.
I can't.
Yeah, I get.
I told my husband. I said it was a really bad decision. But
yeah, I know.
Too late now.
You're in now.
She's my best friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Hiri, the band's back together.
Yeah. And I want to be sensitive to everyone's time. The weather conditions are such that the sooner we end.
Did you look outside? Is it not snowing?
The safer.
It's like snow and sun. I think we're good for tonight. I think they're talking about maybe tomorrow night again.
Yeah, maybe
I don't.
Some frozen in the morning too. Yeah. So. So I'm reflecting really more than anything. The last three meetings I've had with you, you talked about some bylaws ideas and. Ensuring that some of our best practices are included in the bylaws document that had been developed a few years back. It's a really great document. I reviewed it. I think it covers a lot of the bases. I think it could use some additional unpacking around co-chairship that you have as far as future elections. I know we talked about elections online. Do we want to include that or not? I've heard some ideas around people telecommuting for meetings. Does it make sense? Does it not make sense? So I just wanted to kind of offer up this idea of having maybe a business retreat where we really review bylaws, talk about what works, what doesn't work, have a healthy discussion about what is the business of this organization and how do you wish to continue specifically around rules and regulations that guide your success. I don't know that one meeting or multiple meetings were really achieving a whole lot in making these changes, so a retreat could be that, you know, that time that's really dedicated to your business and moving forward in 2020 and so on. We've received some guidance from legal, you know, that is, I think, supportive in terms of making some of the changes that you've already instituted, such as things that, you know, the election online and the co-chair election that we've recently had. So it's not really, you know, a set in stone kind of a proposal, more of what do you think? Do you want to do that? Or do you want to handle it as part of your regular business or have a subcommittee? That's also optional.
The first thing that hits me when you bring that up is we are here at the behest of the council. I would love to know whether the council thinks we're doing the job they intended us to fulfill. Kind of a scary thing to ask.
Actually, in the bylaws, to have an annual meeting.
That's right,
that
it
night.
Is.
Yeah.
We're supposed to, yes.
The other side of it is, I feel like they used to show up a lot more than they have with current council.
Well, Councillor Bolt used to come to almost all of our meetings. We had at least one person.
I mean, there was times where, you know, they couldn't all come because it was going to be a quorum, so.
Yeah.
And we could certainly invite, you know, I think they're all invited to meetings.
They're all invited, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of them came once since
Gary,
I've been here.
Gary came a couple months ago.
Temple has popped in for a few and then left.
Who popped in?
Temple.
Oh, Temple.
Here's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking of doing a sort of a sending out a survey to everyone on here's some things we've been discussing with our bylaws. Like, do we want elections via email? Do we want to add that to our bylaws? Do we want it to say, do we want to change the language to say co-chair or to make it say co-chair? Do we want term limits for chairs? Do we, like things that just keep popping up in discussion. I was thinking of just making a survey, sending it out, then we'll at least have a starting point for these discussions of six people are in favor of this, one person's in favor of this, do we want, you know. So we kind of have an idea of what we want to tweak or what we want to leave alone. Does that sound like a good starting point?
I think I'd like to see the
list first, the question.
Yeah, I'd like to see the list to see if there, or unless there's an option to add to the survey.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you can. So.
What if I sent a list of questions to everyone and then they let me know if they want it revised or additional questions added on, and then I'll blast.
Send the bylaws out as well.
Yes.
Well, I don't think I have a copy of it.
Okay. So we'll do that.
You may have sent me one and I don't remember because there was
so
much.
In your binder?
I don't have a binder.
Okay.
And I think as far as
it's in the binder.
A word of the binder.
Look in your binder, Dylan.
Okay.
Look in your imaginary binder.
Yeah, exactly.
But we could send that again.
I don't think I have one. Yeah.
A few things that I've heard from the group so far, just to kind of summarize, that we could include is the co-chair, the telecommuting option for meetings, online voting, elections, and this discussion that we keep having about ex officio.
Yeah, oh, that too I want to add. Yeah.
Those are just a few things that
that's a good one to add.
On our radar.
And because one of the things I was concerned about, and I asked my father-in-law, who's an attorney, was, does Robert's Rules of Order say you have to be physically present to cast a vote? And it's very vague on it. It doesn't say. So it's down to what our bylaws say. Because I want to make sure that when we're voting, the small
Robert's Rules of Order, there's a small group and then...
Yeah. Because I was going to say, I know that in that, the one that we used for our neighborhood associations, as well as the small group for our HOA, that you can attend a meeting remotely and cast your vote remotely. You may not do it by proxy.
Okay.
Right.
But we could put that in the survey and see what folks think.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it comes up. Yeah. I've had it come up a few times.
It's always better to have it clearly defined, though. And that's where I think, you know, an organizational work session, whether it be a full retreat or just an afternoon that we got together,
and only talked about that.
And only talked about business.
That's really
about our own organization.
Yeah.
You know, once every 5 years doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Well, and the other problem, too, is that so many, like Rotary, we've had to go back and readdress our bylaws because there was no such thing as email vote a long time ago.
No, exactly.
You know, those things have changed immensely over, even over the last 5 years, they've changed.
I do like the idea that, as John said, if we could get some kind of input from the counselors and some kind of input. I know you're freshly minted here.
I think you guys are awesome if you're
but, you know, guys like Kevin, I see in the back, and others. Are we helping you? How can we help you? Where can we help you?
Mm-hmm. Are we wasting your time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I like, you know, updating some of the plans and everything else, but I really enjoy getting into the plans, understanding some of them. You know, I have not been able to attend as many of the public meetings as I'd like to, but, you know, that's kind of stuff that I think we're actually here to help you. And as John says sometimes, you know, if we're making policy, that's kind of fun too. Mm-hmm. But we need to do it in concert with how we can help you guys. So if you guys, you know, the county can give us some guidelines. Because with Bill, I mean, he just knew things were, and we knew where Bill stood, and, you know, it kind of went on a ways, and I'm not so sure change isn't a good thing. As Barbara says, change in leadership, you know, every year, I mean, it's you know, I'm fine leading, but I don't have to lead. That's the other side of the coin. So.
Well, and I think for us, full disclosure, I am more in line of the more is more. You know, we want to be able to engage with you more and share more and send you more information, but there's a limit. I understand you're volunteers and you have a lot of other responsibilities, dogs, kids, projects, you know, house. I would like to have that discussion, right? One thing we're doing, I'm not Bill, I don't have that institutional knowledge, but what we're doing
and that's
is
not a bad thing.
No, I'm learning, probably not always, but we are doing an inventory of our entire work plan, right? What are all of the things that we have on our plate? And I'm realizing how many pages were to now? 20?
12.
In font.
12 font, and it's 11 by 17 pages.
Oh, my.
So we want to bring to you some of our work and kind of, you know, just so you understand some of the organizational dynamics, you know. So we could do both, but I like the idea of maybe on the bylaws aspect of things, just maybe have an idea of what you need to change or want to change. I'm just simply reflecting on what I'm hearing.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And just so you feel okay about this.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. When we were a combined group, we did it once a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and it was just a good temperature check. Are we on track and how do we want to change directions? Because in most meetings, we don't get a chance to talk about stuff like that.
No. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to find the date, like a month and a half-ish away, so we have enough time to do the survey?
Do we? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was thinking maybe April after tax day.
Oh, yeah.
Day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Specifically after tax day.
Sure. It seems like a good time.
Sure. Great. April after tax day. We'll chat about this.
Yeah.
I still get that. I got all those dependents.
I'm
still fine.
I know. I got to remember to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Because I do think it's too hard to discuss in these meetings, and I think it's boring to the general public who comes here and they don't want to hear it. So,
I think what we learned is that because there will be a quorum, we do need to have it open
notified.
To the public.
It'll still be noticed.
Yeah, it would be like a work session.
But at least the people who are coming really like talking or listening about bylaws. Yeah.
They were given the option
talking
not to
about it here.
All they came and listened. So, I mean, that's
okay.
Okay.
So
that's a good starting jumping off point.
So what are we you're going to generate questions?
I will just not in Survey Monkey or anything. I'll just send an email with these are questions. Mm-hmm. Please add to them or shoot me an email. Don't reply all because that's going to make everyone pull out their hair. Shoot them to me, and then once I get everyone's responses, I'll send it back one more time, and then I'll make a proper looking survey.
And then we'll do a Survey Monkey. And then you're talking about after the 15th of April.
To do a retreat, maybe have a get together.
I was going to suggest an afternoon. Mm-hmm. More than that, it's hard for, I think, anybody to cut off of their schedule.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say an afternoon. I would say 3 hours would be plenty.
Plenty, I think you would.
Yeah.
And we'll reach out to you with dates and ideas. We'll likely have it at Luke Jansen or here.
Okay,
yeah.
So it would be one or the other. Is there a preference?
honestly, I don't know if there is.
Well, it's April. It depends on the Little League field.
Yeah, so we're going to be busy.
Yeah, we'd have to do it here.
Okay.
Okay. We'll reach out and get some dates on your schedules.
Okay. Yay. All right. Galena's manager report, and I think we're on time for the most part.
Yeah, I think we're doing really good. Yeah. So these are just FYIs, heads up. I kind of want to keep on your radar. I think Kevin is here. I'm going to give them the floor for a whole minute. Come over here.
Kevin.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Hi, stranger.
We find a way to keep him coming.
I know.
It's okay. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
When I broke my leg, he's like, you want me to cover the meeting? I said, no, I promise you one of these days I'll let you know.
So about a week ago, I think, we sent an email asking for representation from this group on what we're calling the steering committee for the Integrated Aquatic Vegetation Management Plan for Vancouver Lake, which is targeting a management plan to control Eurasian water milfoil. Mm-hmm. The idea behind the steering committee is to kind of be a sounding board for staff as we move through development of that plan. It's got a really tight timeline. We have to have it out for public comment at the end of February.
Wow.
We're having an open house at the end of January.
No pressure.
And so what we're looking for is just someone to participate if interested. I mean, if you all are not interested, that's also okay. But we thought we would throw it out and see if anybody is interested and would be willing. I think time commitment would be possibly attending one steering committee meeting and then agreeing to review the plan in its draft form probably twice. So there'd be an initial draft and then a second draft and then...
How long's the plan going to be, you think? 20 pages, 100 pages?
Less than 20 pages would be my guess.
Dave's like, oh my God.
I already know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And no pressure. You would need to know or understand something about water quality.
Mm-hmm. Right. And for the purpose of this vegetation management plan, we are really staying focused on just the aquatic noxious weed. And we're staying out of water quality in Vancouver Lake. We are not addressing algae. We are not addressing turbidity. We are not addressing temperature.
Yeah.
It's focused just on sort of a long-term management plan for milfoil so that we can keep our recreation uses of the lake intact.
And the open house, do we have a location and date? Or
location is at, I believe it's Columbia River High School.
And we could send the information.
Yeah, we'll send it out.
For Vancouver Lake Park, and you're doing it all the way up in Hazeldale?
Yeah, well, Hazeldale's on the border of Vancouver Lake.
It's part of the watershed.
Well, that's
true.
Yeah. I think we had some limits.
We had some difficulties finding a location.
Believe
so we had
not,
several ideas, and this is what... panned out.
We've even considered going to the Water Resource
January 30th is the date, and I believe the time is 5 to 7.
What
so
was
it'll be
the date
kind of
you
a
said?
January 30th from 5 to 7 p.m. Columbia River High School.
So are you doing that date?
I actually was really interested because the oil does interfere with my recreation there, but... the 30th, I'm busy.
Okay. And I don't know that it's necessary that you attend the open house. We'll schedule the steering committee meeting before that, trying to target in the next 10 to 15 days to get a steering committee meeting in before the open house, and then we'll have more involvement after the open house.
Okay.
So if you're interested.
So I think we should put Dave to review the documents, and we'll put Kelly on going to the open house.
That's what happens when you're not here.
Exactly.
Why not John? John, he knows, since he's a port commissioner, he deals with water.
Yeah,
and
you know
stuff
all
like
about
that.
The water.
There's, I have no.
Yeah.
John's like, no, thank you.
His best position is recommending others.
And we don't know.
Oh, he's still cranky over the choo-choo train.
The steering committee.
Oh, yeah. Don't remind me of that thing.
Sorry.
Okay. Awesome. Dave's in.
Dave said yes.
Yay, Dave.
That's easy. Any other questions?
Yeah, when's your baby coming soon?
February 9th is the due date.
Very exciting. Wow. Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
Very exciting. Yeah. So what's the ratio then?
This will make it even.
Oh.
What's his name?
Steven.
Even Steven! Magic! Isn't that heaven? That's great.
I mean, you still do that to him.
I know, right? That's the whole...
No, you name him Steven, but just don't have everybody call him.
Don't call him even Steven.
No, just have him call him
he
Even.
He started that.
His name is Even.
You know, the kids will do that.
Oh, yeah. They're all about it. They love Even.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. So. Well, congrats ahead of time.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Shut up on your feet.
Yeah, and Dave, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. If I weren't doing Lake Shore's walking path, I would consider doing it, but I just...
Yeah, but with Dave's background, he's really the best guy.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, thank you so much. A couple of other things you asked me earlier about our volunteer program recruitment. So we hired... we did an internal promotion. Dora Hernandez is our volunteer coordinator as of last month.
That's great.
So she's still onboarding to her new job. She's super excited. She has great ideas. Mm-hmm. We had quite a few people interview for that job, and honestly, her interviews were outstanding. Yes. She gets it. She's very, very committed to volunteers, equity, inclusion, mm-hmm. just spot on, great job.
She was very responsive to me when I had some questions on signing up and doing it. She responded immediately, so I was terribly impressed with that.
Yeah, very fabulous. On top of things. Yeah. So her position is currently vacant. I just got approval to recruit for it. I'll be working on the recruitment announcement and get that out. That's the volunteer assistant position. I don't remember if it's a full-time or 7.5. Do you remember if it's FD?
It's
0.75, so that's like 32 hours a week. So we'll get that out online. And this is largely needed because of our events happen on Saturday, Sunday, mm-hmm. weekends. You know, we have MLK Day events on holidays, so it's good to have a couple of folks with scheduling issues as well as... I think we're close to 4,000 volunteers in logistics. It's a really big program. Mm-hmm. We provide support to other public works divisions. It's quite extensive and robust. So we'll get that out. If anybody's interested or if you know anyone, please let them know. We'll have it out hopefully in a week or two, maybe a little longer. I don't know. HR sometimes takes a bit to get things out. So I mentioned earlier, one thing we're doing in Parks and Lands Division is essentially an inventory of all of our big buckets of work. There's a lot of moving parts. I think some of you might know that a couple of years ago, lands side of Parks and Lands came to Parks. And so since we were joined together, we really haven't done a work session to kind of unpack all of our different responsibilities. So we're doing that right now. We have an internal focus group with staff. We're working on our internal kind of organizational mission, vision, goals, priorities, and concurrently unpacking to a degree that we can, not obsessively, all of the different responsibilities and obligations. And so it's a lot. There's a lot of work that happens in Parks and Lands, everything from, you know, you heard Kevin talk about Vancouver Lake milfoil plan. We received a grant from the state to work on that, to land acquisition under legacy lands, master plans. We have new projects online, and just daily operations are extensive and robust. Concurrently, we are also working with staff on developing a capital improvement program for parks, at least, you know, policy work around our capital program. It's not something that we've had since we split up from the city. Bill, I think a couple of years ago, maybe last year, successfully asked for some resources to do some of our capital repairs, but we don't have that bigger policy framework. What does that mean? What kind of capital work goes emergency, major mm-hmm. maintenance route? What kind of work is deferred? So we'll have to unpack all of that, and that's going to be a big chunk of our work. So I'd like to bring that to you, maybe at the retreat, mm-hmm. you know, if there's time. That could be a good topic, and I'll have some of my staff do presentations with you so you learn more about other things that you don't hear about that are done, like vegetation management and our timber operation are huge. I'm learning every day. We have a railroad. I don't know if you knew.
Oh, John knows. John knows we do.
So I would love to kind of give you an idea of totality of our work. I know not all of it is going to be parks, but it gives you a better sense maybe of some of our priorities, especially for 2020. A big chunk of my time over the last 3 months has been spent on onboarding, learning my job, and learning about all of our priorities and our budget. It's been quite time consuming.
a lot of unpacking to do. So one thing I was asked to review is our fees and revenue structure. Eric and I are working on that. When we come back to you in February, we'll give you some research on what others charge, market rates, things of that nature. Like you said, and I followed some of this as a community member, I know there's been a lot of discussion at very high levels politically and administratively around fees that we charge, parking fees, etc. So we're very mindful of that. We do, however, need to look at all of our revenue sources and our budget and its totality, all of the different buckets of funds and how it all works and what pays for what. So I will be coming back to you with additional information on all of that research as much as I can, and ask anytime too. If you have any questions, you know, it's all public knowledge.
Is that council directed to look at the fees?
My understanding is it's kind of a combination of, one, we don't have our fees codified, so they're not in the code. So we have to do that work anyway. That's what CCSO, Sheriff's Office, Public Health, all of them have their fees codified. So we have to do that work anyway, and concurrently we're looking at what are we charging and are we at the market rate or above or below it. I think it's a combination of both management and possibly council. Okay. I haven't heard it directly from council, though.
Okay.
Camp Bonneville Master Plan, just giving you an update that we will be working on that as well. There's some timelines we're working with. If you're, are you at all familiar with Camp Bonneville cleanup? I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm being told that Weston will be done with cleanup at the end of May, June, at some point in August, September. They will have a final report to us. So we're waiting on that. Weston is the cleanup vendor. They've been doing all of this work for the last many years. So I'm hopeful there will be an end, at least this task. There's still some public outreach the Department of Ecology will be doing for Camp Bonneville around water quality, I believe. So we'll have more information on that to you when we receive that information from Ecology. Our master plan is going to likely concurrently unfold as we continue to work with Weston on completing the cleanup and doing public outreach with the Ecology. We're just now starting to work on an RFQ, so it's very early. Carolyn, what's Carolyn's last name? Hennigis? Our Carolyn?
Hennigis.
Did I say that right? Okay. Carolyn will be our primary project manager for Camp Bonneville Master Plan, and she'll come to you and give you updates on the RFQ process and consultants and how we move forward with that. Another property, like you said, that's very much of interest. We get a lot of public inquiry. In fact, I got an email today from someone who lives in the area. She said they have 10 inches of snow, but she really wanted to be here today to hear about Camp Bonneville. So really the only news I have for you is that we have a project manager. We'll keep working on it, and there's a lot of timelines that we have to navigate to make sure that we're successful in our master plan. Other than that, I mentioned already there will be another story in the Columbian about Heritage Farm. I think that just kind of goes back to an earlier item. That's all I have. Did I miss anything? Did we have any other updates?
You've covered everything that I had written down.
Okay. Any questions? I know I go fast.
Great.
There's a lot of moving parts. We're really diving very deep into the parks and lands business, so anytime you want to spend an extremely boring afternoon with me going through books and files and emails, by all means, I invite you to join me.
It feels like you've been here for years, not weeks. I'm just really impressed with how fast you've learned so much. So I'm so excited you are sitting here with your legs. Hopefully on the mend soon. But thank you so much. I mean, it's shocking to me how much you've learned in such a short time. So thank you for that.
I pretend very well. Really, all the credit. I have amazing staff. You know, someone said to me the other day, like, what do you think about your new job? I said, I am so blessed. I have such great people who work with me. Even when I'm injured, things continue. And so I take no credit. I can't.
Well, some of it is, yes, great staff, but some of it is your kicking it.
Thank you.
Kicking it's probably not the best euphemism right now, but yeah. Thank you so much for your work. Okay, public comment. Did anyone who came in late want to sign up? Melata, do you want to say anything? Do you want me to bring the clip to you? Sharon signed up first. Sharon, right?
Sharon.
Shannon or Sharon?
Sharon.
Sharon. Okay. You want to? Yeah, you got to come up because of our microphone. Do you want this too? I can put it up there for you.
You're going to make her sign it.
Well, I'm going to make her sign it because Megan will make me make her sign it. Yeah, so I'm just trying to be proactive.
I want to thank you. I mean, the comments that people made that went to that public hearing, you know, especially about the public's perception. I mean, I'm the community member representative from the sounding board, and when we helped fight it in 2004 being developed. And so I think the community's point of view is that the master plan public hearing was scheduled for the Heritage Farm, and then it was canceled a day after the notice was published. Mm-hmm. And the work has been done. We spent 2 years, even a year, arguing over the sounding ground, you know, the principles of the farm. And one of them was public access. So one of the things that you all could probably help with is it's on the border of Clark County and the city of Vancouver. And I bet you Mayor Ann would partner with us. We need a trail. I understand about, I mean, I've educated myself by being on the sounding board, and Nancy Funk wouldn't let me not get the security issue. But it's possible. The risk-benefit ratio has to be that we get a trail. That area is really underserved. We're probably not going to get our 68th Street sidewalk. That trail there would connect to Patton Parkway and all kinds of other trails. That being said, my message and all the people I talk to, my neighbors and many other people, is do the master plan update, approve it. We spent $15,000, lots of staff time. We had a paid person. It was an update because the work done previously took 2-3 years, and it hasn't really changed. I read all the surveys again. I read the 100-page paper. And it's all the same of what we want. And there's all kinds of good ideas, but separate the budget from the master plan update. We can update the master plan, and there's already lots of good ideas. I mean, all my friends are coming up with ideas of how to raise money and maybe and really do look at the fees now, and that's going to satisfy the county council. And 70% of that budget that they're spending out of the general fund goes to pay WSU Extension, and they do add in about $1 million. And really, it was more like 100,000 pounds of food from all the groups there. So the community gardens is the master garden organic field. Mm-hmm. And what I was really upset about is we have a great graph of what's there, so don't redo that work. And so that PowerPoint, and it's just partly I have institutional knowledge, and that PowerPoint just disregarded all the stuff that was in there. And that was what really upset me. But it also is just, I don't see the need for it. And if we didn't do an update to the plan, then we really should have done a bigger master plan and public outreach. It was just an update to the original plan done. That's one point. The second point is Hazeldale Park has 6 acres on 68th Street, and we need a master plan update. The consultant that did it, we need a master plan update for that 6 acres that are there adjoining to the Hazeldale Park. We have no access. And one of the things I would really like to see, and I've been asking for 2 years, and I'll pay for a coated gate, but we have a coated gate on 78th Street for the community gardeners and master gardeners. But if that coated gate could be accessed from 68th Street, I could walk over the hill. We'd have more volunteers, volunteer for the food bank, go to your community garden plot, go to the master garden greenhouse. They always want me to water. I don't want to water every day, and I'm going to probably waste 30 minutes. There's so much construction on 68th Street right now. That's the main thing is let's get on with it. And the reason why it was delayed was because of politics. And they did want to sell or parcel it off. And then you start diluting what's there. And it's 100 acres and it's beautiful and connect the park. And then the history, talking to Jackie Kemp, you know, the history, we could get another grant. All the work that's been done has been funded by the historical. And the safety of it is because in 2013, that's how long it took to get the Historical Preservation Committee, you know, all those approvals. But what saved the farm, in part, was the Poor Farm Cemetery. And they were going to build on it. They were just going to act like it didn't exist. And this Historic Preservation Commission stepped in and saved us.
That was part of what saved that land. That's all I have to say. But you were right on about the pollet. You know, and we need it. Hazeldale, you know, there's Salmon Creek and there's the Wildlife Refuge. And I'm thrilled there's all these other parks. But we're really, we have a food insecure neighborhood. We have people, 30% of the people don't have a car. And we need to uplift all neighborhoods. And it's right on the border of the city and the county. I know Ann has gone and talked to the Clark County Council and told to her friends, she told me. She emailed me back. She's better at emailing me back than our county councilors. So I'm ready to incorporate me into the city. So
that's well, that's a whole issue for another day.
But you know what? Bud Van Cleve, you know, he was my mentor, but he would probably agree at this point in time.
Who was your mentor? I didn't hear you say. Who was your mentor?
Bud Van Cleve.
Oh, Bud.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being an involved citizen and coming to our meetings. And
well, thank
meetings.
You very much. Yeah, actually, I learn a lot from listening to you. It's very, because you do a really good job. You do really add, and there's, and I think that's what's missing from the Farm Advisory Committee. There's not really a community member, and also like the trail part and how to tie it all together.
Yeah, because that's the hard part, because people want to recreate at that farm,
so
too.
So just so you know, I grew up next to the poor farm there, and you definitely need circulation over the hill. I mean, we used to jump the fence and go across to get
I'm so ready to do that.
Right. So I do know that the subdivision to the north there is going in, which I believe we'll be able to connect through also. But, yeah, there
I don't
needs
know
to
if
be.
It's going to connect or not. Yeah, I'm not.
I thought there actually was a... planned.
There had
the
been.
There had been, yeah.
But it's not, it's I think it was taken off and
security versus access.
But I get it, but you know, I work as a master gardener and I have a community garden now. I'm the ones that fought and made them put in the community gardens or I was going to make them give me a sports field. Now I'm regretting I didn't insist on a park and it'd be a park and forget the farm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so frustrated that I would.
Yeah, there was a lot of
and
farm.
There's more funding for parks. Yeah. So how do we get the park funding for the trail? I know.
Oh, if we knew how to fund trails, sister, I would tell you right.
But we have a little more revenue source, and it's not on the Clark County Parks plan for a trail. And that trail, that was in there in 2008, and we're not getting any credit. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're not getting years of credit. Past due.
So that is actually a good point because I don't believe it is on the map.
No, it's not. I was told, and I was here with you all, and I was left that meeting a year ago crying practically.
And just from a county circulation standpoint, it should be.
Yeah. Oh, I'm right.
Whether it's completely separate from the park and it's just a strip that goes up the side, there needs to be some kind of.
Well, I mean, I would be happy with that to start, but really now that we're fighting this again, and then, you know, we need to go for the. Well, and we had a parks grant writer, and I guess we don't in the budget anymore.
We do. That's who Laura is.
But that's also why I'm frustrated is until the master plan was approved, she couldn't do any work.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, they keep quibbling about the, you know, the general fund, but really public land, and Jean Akers, who did this plan, that's what she said. Public land does not cost very much compared to housing and all these other things.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And so the cost really right now is mostly WSU Extension, and let's not forget that. You know, I mean, look at how much is value added and separate out WSU from all the other partners. It's not to criticize WSU, it's to make it real.
Yeah.
And then you can look at but how do we then improve things?
Mm-hmm.
And
somehow or another in that whole conversation, they need to figure out how to bring in climate change as well, because that's a huge...
Solar panels. I have a community gardener, he's bored and he's wonderful and he's 80 and he donated 100 pounds of tomatoes to the food bank himself out of his two plots. And he went and got a solar guy there and they were up in arms because he told Joe, but they could power 100 homes on the south side of 68. So off of 68, they could power 100 homes. PUD's done the public partnership. It's a perfect, and it's also what was supported in 2000. And that we wanted that. We talked about wind. So that if it can power 100 homes, that would be self-sustainable. It would fit the education piece because you could educate And you can grow under solar. I mean, there was an article in the Columbian about cranberry bogs under solar panels. So, I mean, there could even be research with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the same. There's all kinds of things.
Melana, do you want to?
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sharon.
Just say it.
Yeah, I have a break, so it takes me a while to get up there.
Oh, I hope I didn't start up. 2020.
I'm going to go home and wash my knees.
Watch
nice, yeah. Nice and down or something.
Get out of here.
I just want to make one brief comment and one that's a little bit more than that. But the Kleinlein Kids Fishing event, when we get that free parking, most of the people that come in, they leave within an hour because we have the segments within which they fish per age group and or sign-up sheet. Mm-hmm. But also on a Friday when we have special needs kids, that is, I mean, that the entire Clark County population of kids that need special needs and abilities, and this is their first fish that they ever caught. And many of the comments that we get in the Palaida tent where we have different activities for them, the parents will tell us, this is the first time my kid had connected with anybody in the community and talked about their fish that they caught. I'm sorry, I sometimes get a little bit emotional. No, because these kids are just wonderful kids, but they have been forgotten. They're not included in all of our events. We're in our parks. So that is a special day of Fridays. On Saturdays, it's open to everybody. And again, those kids learn a lot. Mm-hmm. And they will become the new stewards for parks, trails, resources. That's an investment that Clark County should be proud of by waiving the fees for parking. And I think that most of them become our volunteers in parks. And as you know, we have different projects all over the place. And we're not restricted just to the Palaida boundary. We're all over. And those kids come from all over. And they become the community, quote-unquote, influencer, as well as an opinion, as well as stewards of the land. And open spaces, which is part of the quality of life for all of us. So that's I think that's one of the investments, that's one of those value-added components that are hard to quantify, but should be added to offset the fees lost for the parking. So that's one little comment. Heritage Farm. 2004, you guys started fighting.
I looked at
and I was asked to get involved because they were arguing towards the end with the JWD and the WSU and the county, of course, partnered to develop a subdivision. And I was brought in at the end towards when they were arguing about the color of the homes. And one of the things that three of us had done, do a research, who really owns the land? And it was not...
yeah. Who made Hazelville Park went down to the county. My friend Lynn Nutter, she's now fucking with her. Yeah. Went down to the county, found the deed, and we made them give it back to us. And Betty Sue Morris was up for real.
Well, and Betty Sue Morris had talked, because we had spoken to all of the commissioners, three of them at a time, so we had to talk to them one at a time, which is a great...
Okay, everyone's looking at me like they want to. Can we speed it up just a little, Melata?
Sure.
Because we're 6:05 and everyone's glaring at me.
But it's all coming back. But it's all coming back to where we were to begin with. Because when Bill Barron walked down the aisleway and said, okay, it's no longer being considered, it is back to the county because the county still owned it. Mm-hmm. And we're not pursuing that particular project. Then, of course, as a planning commissioner, between 2008 and 2009, when this came back up, I had to disclose that I was involved in saving that
But when the master plan was developed, our primary goal was educational component, historic preservation, and agricultural preservation, as well as teaching tool for all those that come after us. So 2010, the revision time. Well, you know, they totally ignored everything that was being discussed before. Then we are here in 2017-2018 cycle to 2020. Now we're going back to what was happening in 2004. And of course now there, although it may be a political discussion, I mean, we all know how things happen. We have to be vigilant as well as speak our mind as to the resources that need to be preserved. But also with the historic preservation, when I worked for another county, if there was a farm, historic farm, and there was an adjacent land that they owned, that whole unit became part of the historic preservation. I don't know if that's the same here in Washington, but I think that that is something that needs to be looked at to see if the adjacent uses and the land that is still available is part of that historic preservation.
No, I don't think it is because it's just 100 acres.
Right.
Heritage Farm, I hate to cut you off, but like six people are glaring at me simultaneously because we're
sorry,
at 6:10.
For 2 minutes. So
it was longer than that. And I was going to ask Megan, can we get like a timer so I don't have to like... Like it just like at the county council, because I feel awful interrupting people, but people are so passionate about what they're talking about. But I also just, if the timer just dings, then it's not me being rude.
Yeah.
Okay. Awkward.
We'll just give you
one thing to consider, though.
Okay.
One thing to consider, though, is because I have been speaking about the zoning changes, and you guys were going to look into those. And this is what needs to be done. Consider change of zoning for that specific piece of property when you acquire it as a community property, because you're not only using public funds, you're also using grants, and the zoning would protect the land and giveaways and special deals.
That's part of the county's annual review this year.
That's right. And that's why it's very important for you to look at it now, because now you have something that demonstrates to you the danger of not having zoning change upon acquisition. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you very much. Thank you all so much.
Okay. Quick roundtable discussion. Barbara, you want to start?
Nothing.
Just a comment. I'm working on a new project for our Facebook page to do a park of the week. It's not going to be an easy project, but if you have an idea of a park that you'd like to see highlighted, I've forgotten about Hazeldell Park, and I used to run there when I lived in Hazeldell. I'm not even going to tell you how long ago that was, but that's okay. But I've got a couple picked out, and I need, you know, so I'm looking for pictures and dialogue and all that kinds of things. This is not going to be something that happens this week. It's going to take me some time. But there on the website, I think there's like 168 parks listed on the Clark County website. So I have my pick. But if you have favorites, just let me know.
Clark County as a whole, not just Clark County property.
Yes, this is, yeah. But the on the county website, the parks that are at all of the municipalities are listed, even though if you actually look at that site, not all the parks in each municipality are listed. Because like Battlegrounds got, I don't know, eight or nine listed, and there's like 20-something. If you go to the Battlegrounds site, you'll see all of them.
I recommend Kelly Meadows, the undeveloped park in the city of Vancouver, as a highlight sometimes.
You're a stinker.
Anyway, if there's one that you'd like to see, just let me know. You know, it's going to take me a while to get through, and I have to go through and get all the permissions for the pictures and all that kind of stuff yet, so I'm working on that.
That's a great idea.
Anyway.
I'm good.
I was going to do a quick Facebook thing, too, if you want to participate, board members, staff, like I want to do, like, who are we? Like, I'm John Spencer. I love railroads. I'm a port commissioner. Sort of like a quick, so people on our Facebook page who follow us, like, know who we are and, like, what your favorite park is or something like that, just because I'm always looking for content, especially in the winter when it's dark dark and the parks are gloomy. Yeah, so I would appreciate it if everyone followed along and participated. And
so do we have our own Facebook page for the Parks Advisory Board?
I do have one, yes. So, and I try to share some of your stuff, too. So
yeah, I do see you on.
Yeah. And okay, so that's all I have. So look for that in your email. Megan?
Nothing from me.
I know I included you, so I don't think I included everybody else. Just that parks funding bill was popped its head back up. I will be up in Olympia in a couple weeks anyway, and I'll do some advocating on its behalf.
Awesome. Thank you, John. I meant to give you a shout out for that.
You know what? Remind me about that, because I sit on the Chamber of Public Affairs Committee, and now I have a weird variety of things I do, but we're going to Olympia on the 29th of January. Remind me.
Everybody's doing their go up and do a day thing.
Yeah.
We're going to.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thanks, John, for all that.
But remind me about that, and I'll see if I can. It doesn't mean it'll come up, because we have a lot of other things that are on our agenda, but you never know.
Thank you, Dave.
All right.
Thank you. Meetings adjourned. Oh, Stacy, I'm sorry. Are you still there? No.
Okay. I am.
Oh, my God. You are a glutton.
I put you in my pocket for like 2 minutes when I went and got a snack and I forgot. So sorry about that. Do you have anything you want to say for a minute?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Sorry about the pocket thing. We'll see you in March, right? Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Meeting's adjourned.